A new modeling from the Grattan Institute shows Australia could reopen its doors to the world if 80% of Australians get vaccinated, and probably sooner than expected. It requires the federal government to step up in the vaccine rollout and highlight strategies to motivate Australians to get vaccinated. I spoke with Economic Policy Program Director at the Grattan Institute, Brendan Coates, and started asking what the report entails. Could you please tell us a little bit more about the latest report from the Grattan Institute called Race to 80?
Well, Australia finds itself in a difficult circumstance right now. You know, half the country is basically under lockdown or just coming out. And so while the approach we've taken has been fairly effective compared to what we've seen abroad, we're also pretty tired and frustrated. So this report focuses on what level of vaccination are we going to need in order to be able to move beyond COVID, to accept that COVID is going to be in the community, but no, it's not going to overwhelm the health system and it's not going to run right through the population. And the short answer is we need to vaccinate 80% of all Australians and 95% of over 70s to give us the best chance of returning to normal, a world with open borders and with no lockdowns. The challenge here is if we open up with a lower level of vaccination, then there's a very real risk that COVID would run through the unvaccinated population. And the challenge, the constraint ends up actually being hospital admissions. It would basically overwhelm our hospital system for a period. And so while having a COVID vaccine would be great, if you can't go to hospital because you've had a heart attack because there's no ICU beds, then that's clearly a problem. It is a plan that we think is achievable. It's ambitious. But it does mean doing everything we can to get the vaccination rate up as quickly as possible.
So you were mentioning that 80% of Australians need to be vaccinated and 95% over 70 years old need to be vaccinated as well. Now, according to the modelling, how long do you believe it will take to be on that route?
So we think we could get there by the end of the year, particularly if the key constraint is not going to be the supply of vaccines. By October, November, we will have more vaccines than we know what to do with as those supplies come online from Pfizer. The challenge instead comes getting those shots into arms and convincing people to take the vaccine. Now, the good news is 90% of Australians say they want to take the vaccine. Only 10%, like a real small minority, are actually genuinely anti the vaccine. But a quarter of Australians are saying they want to get vaccinated, but just not straight away. And so we have to convert that group into being vaccinated as quickly as possible. The constraint will instead be actually the fact that there's currently no vaccine available for 2 to 12-year-olds. And while kids don't tend to get particularly sick from COVID, they are, you know, a source of spread of the infection. And so if we can't vaccinate kids by the end of the year, then instead of looking at the end of December for hitting this 80% target, we're probably looking at more like March by vaccinating a higher share of older Australians.
Now, the report shows as well that governments need to launch campaigns to hesitant and specific populations, considering vulnerable populations there. How do you believe the governments can reach culturally and linguistically diverse communities?
So to date, we really haven't had a really strong vaccine rollout campaign in Australia. The public campaign has been very weak, and that's partly because the supply is actually the constraint right now. So the government has not wanted to focus the public's mind on the fact that we actually don't have enough vaccines to vaccinate everyone right now. So when we get the number of vaccines up in October, the supplies come online, we should be running a national campaign using, you know, all the community leaders and thought leaders you can think of. So that can be everything from media personalities to sports stars to doctors to local community leaders. And we need to put the message in front of the different communities about the importance of getting vaccinations, about the fact that they are safe and that they will protect people from COVID, you know, through as many different channels as we can, including, you know, in different languages to different communities where English is a second language.
And another of the interesting things, and there's been a lot of conversation about it, it's about the vaccine passport. Could you please expand about this idea?
This would be requiring people, once the vaccine is available to everyone, right? So you can't do this anywhere before that. Basically, once everyone has had the opportunity to get the vaccine and it's widely available, then we really should be sharpening people's incentives to get it. And a big part of that is essentially requiring people, if they do not get vaccinated, say by 1 January next year, then we look at rolling out a vaccine passport for domestic activities. So that could be everything from going to the football, to going to a music festival, to going to bars and restaurants. It does involve quite a lot of compulsion, you know, more so than we would normally consider for a vaccine. But the flip side is if we don't get the vaccination coverage up to 80%, then we're going to be stuck in the world where we are right now, which is incredibly coercive. It involves locking down literally entire states, people staying in their homes for weeks and months in order to avoid the spread of COVID. It would also actually provide another important benefit, which is as we hit 80% and start to open up, by having that vaccine passport situation in place, you actually reduce the risk of super spreader events as well. So you reduce the risk that if 80% is probably not quite enough for herd immunity, we probably need to hit 85%, but we think once you hit 80%, you can start to relax restrictions.
Now, after reopening borders and the economy, let's say 80% or more Australians get vaccinated, what initiatives do you think they should stay? Do we still need to use face masks or QR codes, anything, or all of that will be a thing in the past?
Basically, all we're recommending, when it comes to domestic restrictions, all we would be thinking you would retain is maybe face masks on public transport and in sort of very high-risk settings. Certainly, the QR code system, we think, is something that we should try not to avoid having long-term. You know, we would be looking from the start of the year, next year, provided we hit 80%, then the QR code system is no longer mandatory. And as far as the borders go, you would basically allow open borders for Australians to come and go, provided that they are vaccinated.
That was Economic Policy Program Director at the Grattan Institute, Brendan Coates.